Hi, and welcome to I've Never Seen the OC. We are on Series 3, Episode 12, The Sister Act. I'm going to confess right this second, I'm hungover and this is a struggle today.
Well, you don't look hungover, you look beautiful.
Thanks. Thanks. That's the audible hug that I needed right now. Thank you.
Have you got ahead of the dog?
No, so I need to go and pick up the car. So
I need to do that.
I know. It'll be fine. I'm getting, treat myself we'll to get a little chippy through. Later.
Oh, the promise of the chippy will get you through.
If you are new to this podcast, I'm not normally hungover, but my name is Heather and I have never seen the OC. And over there's Jane.
And I have seen the OC and I am not hungover, but often am. So I'm not on the podcast.
I know. I feel like every Saturday when we record this, you always turn up looking like so glam with like a nice little like champagne glass. And I'm either like post-workout and sweaty or like hungover and a bit grey. So Jane is the glamorous class to this podcast.
Don't let it fool you. I've just did the workout and stuff in the morning, had my shower, and then I'm usually going a little social walk on a Saturday afternoon, and then I feel that because so I've glam. Got the exercise out the way, then I'll have a little glass of wine.
I've washed my hair, so you're welcome, guys. We're going to be fat. I've not brushed my teeth. That's next to my
Heather,
teeth.
No one would have known that. You didn't have to say that. Do you know what's funny? My friend Marie was saying to me that, yeah, I just find I always, in lockdown, it's difficult. Like, because usually I would like have my coffee or breakfast and brush my teeth going out the door, but I don't go out the door anymore. She said so many people in her team, insane. Like they all have to remind each other, like brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth. No, I completely agree. This lockdown living has really thrown my morning routine and teeth brushing. It's normally like 11 a.m. and I'm like, I've not brushed my bloody teeth.
Oh man.
Ugh, what? What a grot bag.
Well, you've really surpassed yourself today. It's 5 p.m. pal.
I know. What a time to be alive. We're all going to be fine, guys. Let's head on to Newport Beach.
Yes.
And feel better about our lives.
Yes. So previously on the OC,
we've got Dr. Neil Roberts and Julie Cooper doing what I thought was like a flirty flirt, nicey nice. I thought it was quite clear it was a flirty flirt, but we're going to find out in this episode it was not clear to all parties.
Yeah.
Marissa's back at Harbour, isn't she? After our successful Free Marissa campaign.
Yep, she's back at Harbour and Chelly and Johnny have lied about the tour.
Yeah, that's why she ended up going back, wasn't it? Yeah. She was going to stay at Newport to keep Johnny.
Be Johnny's
company,
pal.
I guess.
Yeah.
But he lied and said that he was going out on the surf comp and she should just go back to Harbour. And so she did. And then the most exciting thing about this episode.
Oh, I knew you'd love this.
Caitlin Cooper.
Yeah.
Caitlin frickin' Cooper. Love her. Obsessed. All I want to talk about, any other scene, I'm not interested. Caitlin Cooper is the only thing I'm here for.
So annoying.
I also really appreciated the little reminder of China, the hairless pony, RIP.
Few China references in here I thought you'd appreciate.
So yeah, do you know the Sister Act, all it makes me think of is the Whoopi Goldberg film, Sister Act.
Rescue
and Sister Act 2.
Me.
Two of such classic films. Lauren Hill's in the second one. I really like, which one's the sister who was in Hocus Pocus, and she's amazing. I love her.
Can't remember. I'm really bad at can't remember the names.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, Sister Act's great. If you've not watched it, sorry, let's go watch it. I've started watching this on All Four. Mm-hmm. Shout out All Four. I do work for them, so very biased, but it's a great platform to watch. Thousands. It's the largest free streaming service in the UK and it's all free, guys.
It is.
All free.
It's awesome.
I'm not being paid to say that on this podcast, but I guess I am being paid for them, technically.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's a technicality. Moving on.
moving swiftly on. But underneath the episode, it tells you when it was first shown, which is really cool.
Oh, that
I've never
is
noticed
cool.
that before. So this was first shown in the UK on Tuesday, the 28th of March, 2006.
Oh my gosh. Wow, cool, I was 18 right? then, yeah.
I love the fact it's almost to the day as well. Like it's the
20th yeah, that's
of
cool.
March today.
There
what
we go.
What date will it be on Thursday? 21, 22, 23, 24. It'll be the 25th on Thursday. So very almost a year.
Yeah.
Like,
there we go.
Not a year. You know what I mean. Almost the same.
Obviously, we planned all this, so.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, sure. Right. I'm really struggling. Let's crack.
Let's go to the Cone Kitchen.
Yes.
So we've got Seth looking for a spot that has miraculously disappeared overnight. And he is saying that something's got to be wrong because things are looking too good. We've got Marissa back at Harbour. The love triangle with her and Johnny and Ryan apparently solved. And Summer got her perfect SAT scores. And yeah. Ryan pretty much agrees. He's like, yep, things are going pretty well. And Seth's like, Ryan, you should know better. Things are never this good here. There's always a bit of drama around the corner.
I find this sort of anxiety very triggering because this is 100% how my brain works. Like, when good things happen, I like have a fraction of a celebration and then I'm like, oh my God, something's bad. Something bad's going to happen. Yeah, like this good thing has happened and now something bad must have to happen to even out the equilibrium of the world. So I get this, Seth. I get this fear all too well.
On cue, the doorbell rings and Seth's like, don't answer it. It's probably a flaming bag of crap. Lovely. And Ryan answers
Doom
it.
Doom comes a knocking.
Yeah, that's Doom. Doom
has come a knocking.
Doom definitely has come a knocking. So Ryan answers, and it's Caitlin Cooper, and she's all grown up and dressed very Britney Spears esque,
very provocatively. Yeah. I have real beef with the sexy schoolgirl.
Oh yeah.
Shtick. I just think it's gross. I don't. We've talked about it on the podcast before. Yeah. It's gross, but that is what she is. Yeah. Dressed like, although she is a schoolgirl, so maybe like I don't know.
Still, schoolgirls don't dress like that. Yeah,
no, you shouldn't sexualize 14-year-olds. It's real gross.
No, I had real issues with this as the episode goes on. Again, I think this is definitely as watching it as an adult. You know, watching it as an 18-year-old is slightly different. But Anyway,
nobody told Caitlin that they've moved, which I was just like, excuse me, what?
Yeah, well, to be fair, Julie only told Marissa last week what the real deal was, and Marissa's actually moving in the same circles, you know?
But the thing is, like, that was Julie and Jimmy Cooper's house, which was next door to the Coens. Caleb's house wasn't next door to the Coens.
Ah, what? Hmm. Okay, I never even thought of that. Yeah, so she's really out the loop.
Yeah. And this is where Ryan figures out that it's Caitlin. And Seth then turns up and she's like, hey, weird neighbour kid. And I can't remember which one of it that says it, but they're like, oh my God, you've grown. And she's like, boobs? And it's so weird.
It's so weird. Like, and it's even weirder when Seth's like, no, but, well, yeah. And she's
It is, I just don't, like, puberty is weird, right? And I must, like, that must be weird if you've got, like, a friend's sibling or, like, you know, a little cousin or something that you've maybe not seen in a couple of years and you're just, they turn up or you meet them and you're just like, God, you don't look like you used to look like because you're becoming an adult and all the rest of it. But it's like, you wouldn't just hit out with, oh, you've got boobs now. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. And I think it's that way as well. A 3-year age gap as an adult is nothing, but at that age, it's a lot. You know, and I think as well, being a teacher, when you see it, you know, when you compare like a second year to a fourth, fifth year, it's like, gosh, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so we move on to the kitchen, and the whole gang has assembled. So Sandy's here, Kirsten's here, the boys are here, and this is where we find out it's been 2 years since Caitlin has been home from boarding school, and Summer turns up and is also looped in that Minnie Cooper is back.
Yeah, this Cooper chat's not going anywhere, is it? But yeah, they've decided they're not telling Caitlin about the whole situation until Julie's here, which is fair enough. And then Seth and Summer are off to school to go and watch Pride and Prejudice miniseries. Okay.
Do you think it was end of term and the teacher just stuck on a DVD?
Rolling in the telly, yeah, that it definitely, although it's start of term, so they've been back about a week.
That teacher's had enough, man.
Yeah.
But Julie Cooper and Marissa turn up, and this is where we find out that Julie's just been worried, and she's been trying to protect Caitlin from this whole situation because, you know, she's just a kid. And this is where Marissa's like, I mean, you told me and it's fine and I don't mind. And Julie's like, yeah, but you're your dad's daughter.
Yeah.
Whereas Caitlin is my child and she is not going to be okay with this.
But I mean, she doesn't seem to know anything, because that's what Julie's like, oh, just trying to protect her from shootings, funerals, public school. So she's obviously got no idea that Caleb's no longer with us. She's got no idea that her dad's buggered off to Hawaii or wherever he's gone.
Does she even know that Jimmy had been back?
Who knows?
Weird. Who knows? So weird. And like, did he not go and visit her at boarding school? Like,
yeah, and also,
this is quite unbelievable.
What we find out at the end about, obviously, Caitlin's quite in the loop of still what's going on in Orange County, because of when we get to the end, she talks about how she knew about the situation. So surely if your sister shot someone, you know, that's going to travel through the grapevine.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Did you notice when Caitlin comes back in that she's changed her hair and her shirt?
Yeah, she's got like the little pigtails in and...
yeah. She's tucked her shirt in. She's no longer wrapped it up in a crop top.
Yeah.
Funny. Very funny.
But then we find out that she's back for, apparently it's midwinter break. And Julie's giving all the chat like, oh, I thought you'd be in Paris for fashion week with Alex. Saw you front row at Chanel last year. She's a bit like, okay. And yeah, they're all sort of like making excuses for what's been going on. Even Marissa, and yeah, it's just all a bit awkward, isn't it?
It's super awkward. I just I don't want to go in too early on the bad writing, but it's just very unbelievable, this situation.
Yeah. But then we cut to,
sorry Josh, love you Josh.
Yeah. Julie then takes Caitlin to introduce her to the trailer park, where she says we're like refugees. And she's like, oh, this is exactly kind of place Brittany's from, like trying to sell it to her. And Caitlin's actually pretty sound about it. She's like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
Then Julie wants to catch up, do girly things, and her phone rings. And Julie's like thinking it's a boy, like, oh, and wants to get caught up in all the gossip. And then Caitlin checks her voicemail and has this pretty menacing message that seems to be from a guy saying that she skipped town. So yeah, already got that feeling of doom.
Yeah. Over at school, Marissa's worried that she's kind of missed a big part of Caitlin's life. I mean, you haven't spoken to your sister in 2 years. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, yeah, you have, but sure, you really whatever. Have. And she's all like, oh, it's all my fault. We've never been very close. And I'm like, yeah, well, yeah. Like, it's your little sister. Make an effort.
But Ryan's like, oh, well, you could fix that. This is your opportunity. And then Summer and Seth enter.
And Seth says another pervy thing about Caitlin Cooper. It's not okay. Not okay, hon. Not okay.
Yeah, and so Summer does pull him up for it, so she threatens to staple his tongue to his collar if he has any more pervy comments about Coop's not so mini Coop anymore. And then we've got a very excited Taylor, who's all smiles and clapping, hugging Marissa. She's so happy to have her back. And it actually seems pretty genuine.
And what she say? She's like, oh, you must have been so lonely over there. Like, not like the group that we're in here. Like, you can just tell. She's so damn
buzzing,
excited,
isn't she?
That she has friends. Like,
yeah.
So Summer later on is kind of like, oh my God, this is too much. Like, I can't handle this. I would have been exactly the same. Like, this interaction, I was just like, mate, chill the fuck out. Please.
It's a lot, isn't it? But it does, Marissa's quite, she's like, oh no, well, I did have friends. And she's like, a couple of pretty good friends. And she looks really wistful. And it's just, So Marissa and Ryan just look a wee bit awkward and they head to their classes. And Taylor's giving it, it must be really hard for her, the poor thing. It must be like coming back from Vietnam. Again, another mental comment from Taylor. And then we cut to Ryan, who's gone to check on Marissa. And we've got some more boring Johnny chat. So Taylor's made her think about Johnny. He's been patching her phone calls. And... Ryan says, oh, well, why don't you call, he's obviously meaning Chili, but he calls him Bizarro Seth. And it's like, that's quite a good a good comparison.
I just cannot believe how chill Ryan is being about this whole thing. Like, if that was my boyfriend or girlfriend, I would literally just be like, mate, like, get over it. Like, are you in love with this guy? What is this? Like, I could not be as cool as Ryan is being.
No, definitely not. Definitely not age 17.
No. Especially when you think about, like, old Ryan, angry Ryan, jealous Ryan. I just think it's so unbelievable that in 2 years he's had this miraculous turnaround that he's now, like, super zen about it.
How often is he using that punch bag?
Right? Has he got any knuckles left?
Like 2 hours every morning or something? Yeah.
Oh, man.
But we then cut to Chilly and Johnny moping about Harbour. And Chilly's like, pal, just phone Marissa. And Johnny's, he's like, oh, I thought life would be simpler without her, but he's obviously just miserable.
Yeah. But she phones Chilly, good tactic. And Chilly's like, oh my God, yeah, she's here. He's here, you can talk to him. And I just find this next thing so weird when she was like, my sister's in town and I really want you to meet her. Is that not such a weird thing to say to your friend?
It's so weird.
Like,
yeah, I've just written that.
Weird.
Why? She's 14.
It's not like it's your boyfriend. Like, that's quite a thing to say to, like, your boyfriend or your girlfriend, that you would be like, oh, come and meet my family, or, you know, this is my sister. But it's like your pal. It'd be different if, like, you just happened to be in the same place at the same time. But you wouldn't invite your friend to come and hang out with your little sister. That's weird.
Especially when you don't really hang out with your little sister. You know, like, you'd think she'd try to repair the relationship with her and Caitlin before just bringing some randoms into it who have already caused problems for her existing friendships and relationships.
I know you obviously know what happens. Does she fancy him? Because she's acting like she fancies him.
Does Marissa fancy Johnny?
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Like, I just don't believe... Like, people naturally drift apart. And I get that you would want to try really hard to, like, stay pals, genuinely. Like, but... naturally you would drift apart, and I don't get why she's clinging on so hard other than she fancies him.
I don't know. I don't think Marissa really knows, and I do feel that she does sort of want to fix Johnny, you know, and we'll see that when she really wants to. I think he gave her some sort of purpose and made her focus on, and I think she likes, as it's a fair enough, it's pretty natural, she obviously likes that he likes her.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't really know. I think she likes the way he makes her see herself and how he makes her feel, but I don't know how much she necessarily likes him. Does that make sense?
And does she even know that that's what she's doing? Because, like, it's very easy in hindsight as an adult to look back and be like, oh, that's what was happening.
Yeah.
But does she understand? Does she understand the feelings that she's feeling and the actions that she's doing?
She's had a lot to process, so I wouldn't really blame her if she doesn't. So,
anyway, Veronica's turned up to the Cohen household to talk at Kirsten. And she wants Kirsten to set her up on a date with Dr. Roberts.
No.
And then she kind of blackmails Kirsten into doing it.
When she says, delicious Dr. Neil Roberts, I was like, oh, get out of my sight. But yeah.
Really made me think of, did you watch Married at First Sight Australia?
No, I didn't, because I knew I'd probably just become obsessed, cause, as everyone else seemed to be. So I haven't as yet.
See, when she said delicious Dr. Roberts, all I could think of was this line that two of these awful women on that show said, he's not a snack, he's a whole damn meal. And it, like, it's just the tone that she said it was the exact, so I was just like, bleh, 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 I don't like it. It's so gross.
That's disgusting. But on that note, do you know what? It's not just a snack, but a whole damn meal, or feels like it. A packet of McCoy's. I always feel like
I've
had
a big bag of crisps.
Yeah, it's a big bag of crisps.
Especially if it's like salt and vinegar, that might as well be a bag of like chippy chips.
Or the flame grilled steak ones.
I like the salt and vinegar ones. They're like quite tangy. Like, like a nippy, vinegar.
Nippy,
like
Anyway.
I think Ali will be really mad if he comes home and I've eaten all the Pringles, so I'm trying to not.
What kind of Pringles have you got?
So normally we get salt and vinegar because, you know, as I've just said, I enjoy salt and vinegar. But he got the plain ones.
But see, Stephen's a plain guy. Just in crisp form, not like in personality or anything. but I like love the salt and vinegar. But I sometimes don't buy the salt and vinegar because I know that if I'll just eat the entire tub by myself, when yeah. if I get the plane, but I do have a tub of salt and vinegar that's actually gazing at me right just, now.
Is it winking at you?
Like, yeah.
Hey, bae.
But yeah, don't spoil your.
I record this in the living room.
Yeah, don't spoil your
my chippy.
Don't spoil your chippy with some crisps, mm-hmm. especially it is not worth it for a plain Pringle, pal. No,
it's not. Nothing is worth it for a plain Pringle. It's not even worth the calories. You just eat it, and you're like, oh, this is just
cardboard. But. Yeah, so Delicious Dr. Neil Roberts, she's wanting a date with them, and Kirsten's just a bit like, reality check, the dad of Marissa's best friend, the girl you called Little Miss Columbine. And Kirsten's like, look, it's not going to work. But VT's like, yeah, well, we'll just have a chat over a candlelit dinner. And then she says, she's going to blackmail them. She says that, well, Marissa's not had her like prom and her extracurricular activities. So she's essentially blackmailing a teenage girl for a date.
Yes. Veronica's just not very nice, is she?
No. See, she's like, a good man is hard to find.
Okay, Marissa and Caitlin going shopping or have been shopping vintage thrift stores, which is one of my favourite things to do in America. Like, thrift stores in America are next freaking level compared to, like, Scottish charity shops.
It is, but we've also just slightly skipped a little scene that was a bit of a nothing scene, but...
So at the Newport Group. Sorry.
But yeah, I really want to come back to that, but just for editing purposes.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, sure. Jane, you need to keep us on track today. I'm not here, mate. It's okay.
You're doing well, pal. But yeah, we're at the Newport Group, and Kirsten visits Sandy with her dilemma. Basically Veronica's threats, and Sandy's like, we don't negotiate with the noopsies.
That was funny.
But Kirsten wants Sandy to persuade Neil, and like, is Sandy basically, because he's one of the only like adult male characters, we just expected to, he slots in as pals with whoever, like, oh, he's Jimmy's best pal, despite the fact that Jimmy's got a thing for his wife, and we'll just never see him with Summer's dad up until now, but we'll make those two pals as well.
Well, it's like when he randomly goes to play golf with people, you're like, we've never seen these characters before. Nah. Does he just play golf with everyone? Is that how it works? Is that what guys do when they play golf? They just go and randomly chat to loads of different... I don't get it. It's weird.
Nah. Who knows?
Right. Now we can talk about...
Yeah, now we can talk.
This. Yeah.
Vintage shopping in America is the best.
It's unbelievable. Can we just quickly talk about Caitlin's really fugly bag?
The dog bag
is honestly the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I really didn't get the... No. Yeah, it's awful.
Even in like a high fashion manner, I'm like, it's an ugly bag.
Yeah, it's very ugly.
But she's traipsing it about, I'm sure. It's, did Julie not say that Marissa got her it or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. Who knows, but...
It is gross.
So she's got a gross bag and Marissa's trying to explain... everything that's been happening, tried to explain about Johnny and just convince her that Julie was trying to protect her. And then Chili and Johnny enter the scene and Caitlin's all like, oh, which one is Johnny? Perfect bone structure or carrot top?
Right. So see, if you think about, like, if you just look at a picture of Johnny and ignore all of his personality traits.
Yeah.
He is actually very handsome. He's a handsome young lad. I get that kind of like surfer look, the kind of shaggy hair. He's very chiseled in the jaw area. I get it. But that personality is honestly the dullest thing. The dullest thing, and takes away any handsomeness. Dull.
Do you know, it's funny, I'd watched this episode and completely unrelated, my brother messaged me and he was like, oh, listen to this song. He's like, this used to be in a BMX video that I used to watch and it's like such a blast from the past. And do you remember that band Metric? So it was one of their songs. But anyway, so I put it on Spotify and I was like, oh, a little nostalgia trip. And then this song came on and they have this song called Wet Blanket. And I was like, oh my God, this is Johnny's song. It's like,
Johnny's anthem.
Yeah,
man.
Even the lyrics. I was like, oh. Yeah, so he's just...
So if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, oh man, I feel weird because I used to fancy Johnny, shout out my friend who texted me earlier telling me that they used to fancy Johnny. Not going to name and shame you, babe, but I know. Yeah, it's okay. You're allowed to have thought Johnny was handsome, but like you can fancy a person's looks and think they're a boring wet blanket. It's okay. It's a confusing time fancying people.
It is, but so Vanessa does the introductions and it is quite awkward between her and Johnny, and Caitlin picks up on that, doesn't she? She gives a little sort of knowing look. And then they're inside the diner and they're having a bit of chat over Johnny leaving. Obviously, Marissa still thinks that they're off to tour. And they're talking about dates for going away, and Johnny and Chelly give sort of conflicting dates, and then Johnny makes an excuse and just goes out to the car. He says he's going out to the car.
He's locked the car.
And then Caitlin also gets up to go to the toilet at the same time. And Marissa knows that something's up, and Chelly doesn't really take much convincing, does he? He just tells her, he only did that so you would go back.
Meanwhile, Caitlin is hunting down Johnny like the little predator she is. And it's like such a ballsy move. She's just like, how long have you been in love with my sister? She's not available, but I am. I remember being this ballsy, like as a teenager. I'm like, where has that gone?
I know, I'm like not at 14, but then I think that I get, when I think back to being a teenager, I just always think about being 15, 16, but obviously I wasn't that age the whole time, you know? I think like, if I just think of like the kind of whole time of high school, other than being like fifth, sixth year. So yeah, but she's got a lot of confidence and Johnny just gave this sort of like goofy smile and it's just a bit like, ew. I just think so that gross. 14, 17 age gap is such a weird one. Do you not think so? Yeah.
Although now that I'm thinking of it, my boyfriend at school was in sixth year when I was in fourth year.
That doesn't seem that bad though. This seems more like a
creepy, doesn't it?
But then a second year, fifth year divide.
Yeah. What age would I have been in fourth year? Like 15. Yeah, must be.
Yeah, 15, 16. Yeah, I was 16.
Yeah, and then you're like 16, 17 in fifth year, right? In sixth year. So that's not as bad.
In sixth year, I was 8. I turned 18 in sixth year. So I was like 17, 18. Yeah, I don't know. To me, that would just, I was like 14 towards the end of second year into third year. And, you know, teaching kids that
second
age, it's just
young.
Yeah. It's just, and you think of terms of what you're doing in like second year compared to what you're doing in like fourth year, you know.
It does kind of just come down to like sex, doesn't it? And like where you're at in trying that stuff. And I guess like that's the thing, we've already spoken about it with like Seth and Summer and Ryan and Marissa, like they're all having sex or have had sex or had sexual experiences, and you would assume Johnny would be the same considering he's the same age. Probably not, he's just bored all the girls away. But then it's like they're talking about Caitlin, who is currently or has recently gone through puberty, and you're like, it just feels a bit gross, doesn't it?
We then jump to the Coen house and Ryan answers the door to this random guy who is in Twilight, I'm sure. He looks like one of the guys from Twilight.
It took me a lot. It took me till later to figure it out. But yeah, it's one of the hot, sparkly vampires from
Twilight. So he's looking for Caitlin and Ryan lies and says he hasn't seen her since she was 11 and riding ponies. And the guy leaves a number. And Ryan's just a bit like, something going on here. She's definitely in trouble.
He clicked on quite quickly, though. You could tell his bullshit radar is like on point, because straight away he lied. So he must have known something was up.
Yeah.
So he heads over to the trailer to talk to Marissa, and Marissa isn't there. So he just talks to Caitlin about this Justin character.
She's so sassy, isn't she?
She's so sassy.
So much sass for a 14-year-old, but. Yeah, so she says, oh, the guy's from Justin. He's from her private school. She met him at a mixer. And Caitlin's just a bit like, he's a bit of a stalker. I can't get rid of him. And I got him into trouble for stalking me, essentially. And it could affect his chances of going to Princeton. And she tries to kind of path off as, that's why. That's all it is.
Yeah. But as soon as she was like, oh, and you won't tell Marissa. I was like, well, she's clearly lying. That is the point that you would know she was lying.
Yeah, and cue Ryan. I'll take care of it. Of course you will, Ryan. White Knight. Ugh.
Ryan, I had to save everybody.
But yeah, so you know that that's a lot of bullshit. But we'll humour you for now, Caitlin. But yeah, we've got Marissa goes to visit Johnny. And she's wearing like such a, I would have loved this at the time, like her little blue anchor top.
I saw this and I thought of you. It's kind of teal with a navy anchor.
Navy anchors.
Very of the time.
Yeah. So she says that Chelly told her what happened. And Marissa's like, oh, what you did was amazing. I just wanted to thank you for putting me first, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, but what about you? What are you going to do? Like, how can I help you? And he's just a bit like, it's not your problem or concern anymore. And it never was. This should have happened 4 episodes ago.
Right. You can probably tell. Maybe it's just because, you know, I'm feeling a bit dusty today. I am so unbelievably over this storyline. Like, I'm so bored of the Marissa and Johnny storyline. I don't understand. Because when you look at the past 2 seasons, the story arc of these things tends to only be like 4 or 5 episodes. It's quite quick. Mm-hmm. When you think of like the Teresa storyline, the Oliver storyline, like Trey they even. All go quite quickly. Trey, like all of that goes quite quickly. Whereas this has been going on for like what, 12 episodes?
Every time you see them in a room together, I'm just, or like a scene, I'm just like, oh, here's another nothing scene of the same old rubbish. But he's like, I needed you to leave. And she's like, what? And he's like, I can't have you in my life right now. And that is like spot on and should have been said episodes ago.
But I mean, he did say that episodes ago. He was like, I like you and this is...
But then he still kept pursuing it. It was like, again, they kept having these big chats, which was just end with, let's start again. We're cool. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, she leaves and she does look a bit shell-shocked, but she leaves.
Yeah. I don't understand why she's so surprised that he doesn't want to see her. It's weird. It's just weird.
If I looked like Misha Barton, I'd find that difficult as well.
Sorry, what? You don't want to me? Hang out with me? little me? Okay, Sandy is calling Dr. Roberts and he's like, oh, so you know Veronica. And Dr. Roberts says my favourite line in this
whole episode. It's so good, isn't it?
Refers back to something we mentioned last episode. He says, I know every former A-cup in this town, which just confirms the crap job of a boob job that he did on that woman at some point in the past.
It's also pretty weird, isn't it, that you're pursuing someone that gave you your fake boobs? I don't know. Is that weird?
I don't know. I don't have fake boobs, so I don't know.
Yeah, me neither.
Feeling towards your surgeon.
Me neither.
If that's what she wants and that's what she's happy with, as long as she's happy, that's fine. But
yeah, oh, it's weird, like, isn't
big
it?
Titties. Yeah,
and it is also weird that Sandy comes clean and he's like, because I was like, how is Sandy going to float this to like, how's he going to try and sell this to Neil? And he basically says, yeah, it's for Marissa, like, we've been blackmailed, going to go do us a favor and go on a date with her. And yes. What's it Sandy says? Like, she's a bitch on wheels. Or it's like pretty. And he's like, yeah, trust me, this is going to be as horrible as you imagine. And it's just a bit like, oof, this is a lot.
But he's like, sure, I'll go. It's only one dinner. Fine, is kind of how that ends. And then we head to the bait shop and this Justin guy is here and Ryan's having a word with him.
Yeah.
And this is where we find out the actual situation that happened, which was Caitlin stole $1,500 from one of Justin's pals.
Yeah.
And she's been lying about her age.
Or his brother or something, yeah.
Yeah. And she's been lying about her age. She's been saying that she was 16 when she's obviously actually 14. And Justin is like, this isn't something I can fix. It's not my money. It's not me that's after her. I'm trying to help her.
He seems quite genuine, doesn't he? Like, you can tell he cares about her and wants to try and get it sorted. But he's like, look, it's out of my hands.
Yeah.
Which and he does look horrified.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he finds out she's 14, he looks genuinely shook.
I mean, it's so confusing now to think of that, because you would always have the internet to find out what age somebody is or get a gist for what somebody's age is.
Yeah, then again, I guess you do still get kids lying on profiles and things, and she, let's face it, she doesn't look 14, does she? Well, I'm quite familiar with, and sometimes you will get every so often like a kid in your class who does look like a good bit older than some of the other kids, you know, and you're like, oh, it's, yeah, it's quite disconcerting, but yeah.
Yes. It's just, yeah. Anyway, Seth and Summer are in Summer's house in a new room. I don't think we've seen this room before.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where we were.
Some kind of sitting room. And this is where Taylor comes in and breaks the news that Veronica's going on a date with her dad. And she is so excited about them being sisters.
Oh, she enters like actually screaming. And I thought it was quite funny because Seth had said... Summer's like, she's called three times. She keeps leaving messages. And Seth's like, yeah, she has abused puppy syndrome. Like, you give her, she just keeps coming back for more. And Summer's like, she has her responsibility now.
But yeah, she then very quickly goes and scouts the rest of the house for which bedroom's going to be hers when she and her mum move in because they're going to get married and her and Summer are going to be sisters. Which I was like... fine if you're thinking that and you're excited about it, but there's in your head thoughts and out of your head thoughts. That's definitely an in your head thought.
Although I was like, let's make the rest from Taylor's point of view so we can get a swatch of that house.
get a GoPro and Taylor. That's all, we just show us the house.
But the next scene is so difficult, isn't it? So we've got Dr. Roberts and Veronica on their date, and I think, I'm guessing they're at the yacht club or somewhere fancy, and they do look like they're having a nice time. And then Julie and Caitlin enter, and Caitlin's like, Mum, this is a bit expensive. And Julie's like, oh, it's your homecoming, I want it to be nice, like, we used to come here. And Julie she sees them and she looks shook, doesn't she? It's such a shame.
She looks sad. She looks really sad. And then she has a runner. She's like, nope, let's go to somewhere else. Let's get out of here. Marissa is getting ready at the trailer. It's really upsetting me how messy their apartment trailer thing is. Like, how any of them can find anything in there is beyond
me. First, when this scene opened, I thought it was Marissa maybe unpacking, like having moved back into the trailer. But it's chaotic, but it also is very reminiscent of me when I'm in a rush or when I'm in a bad mood and I'm looking for something and I'm just like storming about, throwing stuff everywhere. I'm generally like a very tidy, organized person, and Steven's just like watching me stomp about. He has nicknamed me Stormzy for like when I'm just storming about the flat, chucking stuff about. I could really, and then after it, I feel so stupid when I eventually find what I'm looking for and have to try and redeem myself and remember I'm not a petulant child for acting like an idiot. But anyway,
so Marissa's doing a Jane and storming around the trailer trying to find her brown jacket with the little bits. Which is like exactly how you would describe that. Like, you know, it's like the denim one with the little bits on it.
That
like,
one,
I hate it. And this is where she tells him about Johnny. And again, like, I can't believe Ryan is still putting up with this bullshit. Like, it really, but he's super chill about it. And she's like, and he's like, he is in a bit of an awkward position, like trying to remind her, like, he told you that he likes him. And this is where he's like, maybe you should focus on your relationship with Caitlin and, you know, me.
Or me.
Your boyfriend.
Yeah. And she does. It seems to work. She calms down. And then Ryan gets a little glimpse of the bag that's supposed to have the monies in it. But it's empty.
Yeah. It is empty. Over in the Cohen kitchen, Ryan is telling Seth about the situ with Caitlin. Seth is like, which is Jimmy Cooper's daughter.
Yeah,
of course.
It's a low blow, like, isn't it? Stealing's in her blood.
And then Marissa and Caitlin arrive. Seth goes to talk to Marissa about Summer's birthday present, which is obviously 8 months away.
8 months away. Sure.
Good distraction. And Ryan is like, what's going on with Caitlin? This is what I've been told is the situ. I saw a bag in your stuff. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
As she comes up with this super elaborate story. It's like, you know, if you're calling in sick and you say you've got diarrhea and they'll never ask any more questions. That's what it feels like. It feels like I'm going to tell you it's about something that's going to make you feel super awkward so that you don't ask me any more questions.
Yeah. So she makes up this story that her pal, was to pay for an abortion. I was also like, I have no idea how much an abortion costs. Again, We're very lucky shout for the NHS. NHS. Yeah, shout out to the NHS. But yeah, and I'm also like, oh gosh, she's 14. But she's like, yeah, the dad was like this guy's pal and he wouldn't pay. So she stole money. And Ryan's like, look, you need to take care of this. You need to tell Marissa. Yeah. And I've just written down here, wee cow. She must have had the look that she gave. Ryan must have really annoyed me. Wee cow. I don't even remember writing that.
She is a wee cow.
Caitlin Cooper is a wee cow.
She is a wee cow. So, what phrase? So yeah. So the rest of the gang come back, and this is where she's like, actually, can you just drop me at home? I've lost my appetite, which is probably
that's why she's a week out.
She's a week out. Yeah,
they were going for pancakes, as if Ryan's made her lose her appetite. I mean, it's the fact that she's a little thief.
She is a dirty, dirty thief.
Yeah. so, oh, this is good as well, isn't it? At the Roberts residence.
Yes.
Yes, Summer's like calling out her dad.
This is so funny. So she comes in and is like, oh, I heard you were going out with Veronica, like basically slagging her off something rotten and being like, this woman is awful. She's the worst.
Yeah, but she says,
I thought it was just one dinner.
Cruella's nabbed her next puppy. I think like she does say, doesn't she? Like he's like, oh, she's misunderstood. And Summer's like, she's an evil bitch.
Yeah. God.
Summer's got a sharp tongue on her.
She does. So this is where we find out that Dr. Roberts has kind of fallen under Veronica's spell. He's very much just like, no, we're going on another date. I'm bringing her to the launch party. Like, as you said, like, she's misunderstood. Like, and I was just like, and what's he says to her? He's like, I want you to be civil to her. And I was just like, oh, awkward. Where is this storyline going? I really hope him and Veronica don't get together.
But yeah, we move from there to Johnny turning up at the trailer to apologize for Marissa. I was like, oh, here we go. But I did like that there was more Gus chat. Like, Caitlin's in. Yeah. She's like, my mum's told me not to talk to you, Gus. Her and Caitlin sort of exchanged some chat, and she's like, oh, why don't you come to the launch party at the Cones tonight? I'm inviting you, and Marissa will be there, and you can apologise now. She's just wanting to start up drama, isn't she?
Yeah. Or does she just fancy Johnny?
Yeah, bit of both, I think.
Kicks.
A bit of both.
Let's head over to the pier. We've not been on the pier for a while.
This made me want to go on holiday so badly. Like, I think
everything
it's because we've had
me want to go on holiday.
Yeah, but especially this week. I think because we've had a nice spell of weather this week, and obviously we've had the announcements and the sort of roadmap out of this shambles, there has been definitely a little bit of hope. And I was like, oh, that would be so nice. Walking on the pier. Yeah. But Ryan tells him the story that Caitlin's fed him. And Marissa's like, oh, but I mean, do you think she's lying? As if Ryan's been unreasonable to think she's lying. And he's like, look, just talk to her.
Although I don't think I would take it very well if somebody told me my brother was lying. I would be inclined not to believe them.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to want to believe the best, aren't you? And I feel that obviously, I think Caitlin is sort of turning on the charm for Marissa, whereas Ryan's seen this sort of darker side and doesn't have the rose-tinted glasses of being her sibling. So we then cut to Kirsten and Julie setting up for the party, and Julie is pissed. Rightly so.
Yeah, she is. And this is where Julie tells Kirsten that she likes Dr. Roberts, and she thought there was maybe something happening because they'd been spending more time together. And then, like, how sad she was when she saw him out on a date with Veronica. And how even sadder she is that he's coming with her to their launch thing. And I was like, do you know, it's so funny because Ali and I have been together for 100 years, as I know you and Stephen have been together for 200 years. And it's so, like, you just forget how, like, much of an emotional roller coaster it is dating. And, like, do they like me? Do they not like me? Is it a date? Is it not a date? Are we just hanging out? Is it something more? Yeah. What do they feel? What do I feel? Like, you just forget how shit is.
I don't know. Yeah, it's Stephen and I were like friends before we got together, and there was a bit of that, and oh, like, where do we stand, you know? And just when you hear, obviously I've never experienced online dating or Tinder or anything like that, and I'm like, oh my god. It just seems, oh yeah, scary stuff.
If Ali and I ever break up, I will literally, it'll just be me and Kelly. I am not doing Tinder. Yeah. I'm not doing online dating. It'll just be me and my cat forevermore.
Sounds perfect. But it will never come to that, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, Julie's a bit like, she says she has, and I think as well for Julie telling Kirsten, I think that's her admitting to herself as well how she feels, you know, that, oh, I've got these romantic feelings for him. But she's just like, I'm okay, Kiki. I'm like the Gulf region at this point. What's one more hurricane? So yeah, poor Julie. We cut to Seth and Summer in his room, and they are thinking of ways to break up Dr. Roberts, so, and Veronica Townsend. So Neil and Veronica. And then, yeah, this is so weird. Like, Sandy comes in and he's like, oh, don't worry about it, pal. It was only a one date thing. And he's like, oh, I can't believe there's a second date. And then Kirsten comes in and explains the situation. Like, oh, well, it's only because... And it's like, this is mental. Why are the parents and kids all conspiring against
this? You would never do that.
Yeah. Especially when so many emotions...
Yeah, it's exactly the same as the bar mitzvah thing. Like, it just would never, it would never happen.
Yeah, pretty bizarre. And then Seth just is like, yeah, we need to make sure that, like, this doesn't happen. And then Seth just mentions genital warts. And it's like, where did that come from? What was the, why? As so often is the case with Seth, like, why?
I mean, it's a good one. It would work.
Yeah, but how does Seth know that Dr. Roberts has genital warts? You know, do we even want to go, like...
Wow. He's just made it up. It's fine. It's just, he's going with it.
I know, but for Veronica to believe it.
Yeah, that's true. But they very much realise that they need to, not only do they need to come up with a plan to break them up, but they need to come up with a plan that will make Veronica dump Dr. Roberts.
Yeah,
because
it can't be
the
other way about.
Dr. Roberts dumps Veronica, she might go AWOL and... wreak havoc on Marissa, basically.
Yeah. So we then have the doorbell goes, and it's Justin and his pals and his brother looking for the money. And Ryan and Marissa are like guarding the door just as Caitlin comes in. And they're, Ryan's like, look, man, she only did it for the abortion. And they're like, what abortion? Like, what are you talking about? And then how weird was this, though, when Caitlin comes in, she's like, has anyone seen my cocktail napkins? Like, what?
Yeah.
Just so weird. Yeah.
I just cannot, but like, maybe it's because my house wasn't as big as this, but there's not a chance in hell as a teenager I would have answered my front door and a group of guys would have been at my front door without my parents hearing it and coming down and being like, what the fuck's going on?
The parents would have, I mean, that house, there's a security camera at the door. There must be gates. Folk don't just wander up, do they?
Yeah, it's surely a gated community or something like that. Weird.
And it's very like, the guy sees Caitlin, he's like, give me my money back, bitch. And it's very like Luke energy from season one, isn't it?
Or do you remember when Hayley was here and she threw the big party and
oh
that
God,
woman turned
the rager,
up looking for
her
money? Yeah, that was good. It's the same energy. But then what, Marissa and Ryan send Caitlin off to the pool house and Marissa's like, we're going to call the cops. And the guys are like, sure, call the cops then. Go ahead.
Yeah, go for it.
That's the point when you're like, oh no, she has done something bad.
Yeah. But Caitlin's not in the pool house. And why did that sound so not right there? It's the pool house, isn't it?
Yep,
do you ever say a word and it just doesn't feel like the right thing to say? Or like, is that even a word?
It is. The pool house is where Ryan
They're in the pool house. And she's like, I know where she's gone. So cut to the trailer and Caitlin is packing her things and she's going to run away.
Yep. She didn't want to tell Marissa because Marissa is a self-righteous princess.
Real.
She's not
wrong.
She has
a bit.
Yeah, she's not wrong. I guess it would be like, it's tough because I'm an older sibling. So I don't know what it's, you're an older sibling as well, aren't
you? Yeah, I'm an older sibling.
I don't know what it's like growing up having, like, especially because Marissa was the alpha. Was she though? She was the alpha. Like, she was like the prom princess. Like, she's the... the shining example of what you should be in these American high schools. Growing up with your sister knowing that, that must be tough. Like, that's a hard reputation to live up to.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I remember my brother and I are really close, but he said at school, like, I was a bit of a goody-goody and always got on well with teachers and stuff. And James is a bit like, oh, it was really shit being your sister. And like, he must have been in second year and I was in sixth year. I was like, head girl. And I just, oh yeah, I remember. This is pure off topic, but it's a really quite a funny story. So like, one of James's pals at the time brought like a BB gun to school. Like, stupidly, like, you don't take a gun to school. And for whatever reason, he asked James to like carry it between classes or something. And then I just remember like a teacher coming to get me out of class and being like, yeah, your brother's got a BB gun. And I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? And like, he's like 12, like dragging him into this, like, I can't believe you've done this. Like, do you know how much this will affect my reputation? Like, being like such a dick.
You
and he's just like,
such a Taylor Townsend.
It was just, yeah, it was just for my pal. Like, I don't even know what it was. He just gave me his bag. And yeah, we still laugh about it now. But I totally get that. But I also get, I feel this is like quite contradictory with Marissa's character, because she does definitely seem more of a Jimmy. Whereas, if they've already set Caitlin up to be more like her mum, you know, and she is going to fashion show and she does have these sort of standards, whereas Marissa's sort of taking everything on the chin. So
yeah,
I guess it's there's just, a bit of both there.
It doesn't make sense either, because she's been a boarding school, so it's not even as if she's been, I don't know, the whole, it doesn't quite add up. Like, there's no depth to this writing. It's like, here's the kind of half-baked shit storyline that you just are meant to believe.
Yeah, I almost feel, again, you forget Kirsten, Caitlin's 14, because I feel that, oh, should I believe this? Should I sympathise with her? But then I'm like, is this just all bullshit?
Yeah, you know? 100%. I was watching it being like, she's just manipulating Marissa. That's all she's doing here. But this is where we find out that Caitlin actually knew the whole time about Julie and the trailer and all the rest of it.
Yeah, so why didn't she know that Marissa had shot a guy, that Marissa was going to public school? You know, surely she's heard that through the grapevine. Somebody sent her that on a little sidekick.
Yeah, exactly. But this is where she's like, she stole the money to come home and make sure everything's okay, which I kind of get. But this is where you kind of get the impression Caitlin just like wants a family. She just like wants to feel that she's part of the family. And of course, that stupid dog handbag was full of the money. Of course it bloody was. If that's in the if that handbag's in the next episode, I'm going to be pissed. I never want to see it again.
It's very unbelievable that Caitlin was sitting fro at the Chanel show if she's carrying about bags like that.
No, I completely agree. Completely agree.
Yeah, but they hug. It's quite a nice little moment, and she gives the money to Ryan, and then we are back to the Cohen house, and it's party time, and it looks so cute. It looks like a really cute Valentine's Day themed party or something, doesn't it?
Kirsten knows how to throw a good party.
She
so
does.
Julie, actually.
I think
they should have done the party planning. Like, sack off the dating. They should have just gone.
Yeah,
they
found their 40. They definitely should be doing that. But you've got Seth and Summer, and they're awaiting Taylor. And Summer has told Seth something bad about her dad, but we don't find out what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. New Match is what this new company's called, by the way. Julie and Kristen's dating thing, and Julie and Kristen do a really nice like speech about the company and thanking everyone for coming, and this is where Julie says the only thing worth pursuing is a soulmate. And I'm just like, where, like, Julie Cooper from season one would not have said that sentence.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't
her
it,
growth.
Yeah, she's grown a lot.
She's good.
It's very cute, and she looks so sad. Sandy looks great in this scene.
Sandy looks great the whole time.
But so handsome. The plan is in motion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know who else looks nice in this scene?
Who?
Taylor.
She looks amazing. Great. Her hair is great. Her dress is great. She does. She looks gorgeous.
The dress really reminded me of, you know, in Pretty Woman, where Julia Roberts goes to the race tracks.
I can't think, but I'll take your word for it.
She's wearing like a brown polka dot dress And it's like, this is like the younger version of it. Because it's like, Taylor's is like strapless and like, she looks great. There, oh, no, I she said does. Something nice about Taylor.
There you are go. You happy? Oh, you're warming God. To her. But she's like to Seth, oh, don't make a pass at me. I don't want you coming between sisters. So it's like, oh man, that's funny. She is. And Seth's like, look, how serious is your mum about Dr. Roberts? And she's like, well, my mum always gets what she wants.
Yeah.
And then again, Seth tells her something. What does Whispers he tell her? Yeah, a little whisper.
Over to the bait shop. Ryan is giving back the money. And Justin expected Caitlin to be there to apologise. And this I just thought was quite weird. Like, just a weird scene. So we're meant to believe that Justin and Caitlin were seeing each other and Caitlin's... Did I call her Kirsten? I did.
No, I don't know. No, we know what you meant.
Thanks.
Casey.
Minnie Cooper and Justin were seeing each other and we're meant to just believe that she's done a bunk and doesn't care about him and has just kind of walked away. And he's meant to be all heartbroken and sad, and Ryan kind of cottons on to this. And Justin's parting words are, just be careful with that girl, man. She's amazing.
She's 14.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I thought this was all really weird, and Ryan's just like, oh, you're in love with her, and I'm like, he's in love with a 14-year-old. Yuck. Like, it's I find it really difficult to get round the age stuff that on second watch, because I was saying this to Stephen as well. He's been watching with me, although a couple episodes ahead, and he was like, oh, Caitlin's back, like the stuff with her, that's really good. And I was like, it's actually quite problematic as an adult. Because I was like, she's 14. And especially how this episode ends.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, fuck, don't realise that. Like, because I think when you're watching it younger, it doesn't seem as, you know.
It's not a thing, no.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the thing. Like, I'm trying to think back and be like, I'm sure when we were like 14, there were some girls that were going out with older guys. But that was the exception. And everyone thought it was a bit weird.
Yeah. There was always a bit like,
And you did always think, like, why is that older guy going out with her? Like, it always felt wrong. And I think if you know that at the time when you're that age, then clearly there is something. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you can't overlook it. It's a weird setup. Again, we've mentioned it before, sexualization of children is weird, and it's even weirder when you think that it was an adult writing this storyline.
It is. And I think as well, again, age gaps, whatever, for me, again, I think it becomes different when you get older, isn't it?
Yeah,
think, especially me. But even, for example, if someone, like, if I was saying, like, I'm still going to say early 30s. but I mean, if I was going out with someone in their early 20s, I'd be like, what the fuck would we talk about? You know?
No.
You feel like, quite so detached.
I'm finding it really weird at the moment because a lot of my friends are going out with younger girls. And it's always the guys, just saying. but yeah, a couple of guys have broken up with their girlfriends who are my age or a bit older, and are now going out with like 24-year-olds, 25-year-olds. And they're A's. Like, I love hanging out with them. They're really, really nice and they're really fun. And I get, like, love doesn't have an age. Yeah. But it is just interesting that the expectation of men to go out with younger women. And I guess if you were single now, it would be really hard to go out with somebody our age, because are they all looking at younger women?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I feel this could go into another podcast.
I've gone off on a tangent, but...
It's food for thought, isn't it? I think it's just... Yeah, it's different when you're younger, but it's also different when you're older, but for different reasons, to some extent.
No, 100%.
Anyway, we're at the bait shop. Or have we been at the bait shop?
We've been to the bait shop.
We're at the party. And you've got Veronica and Dr. Roberts, and, oh, should we go somewhere more private for a drink? But then Taylor pulls it away and she's like, Mum, I need to speak to you. It'll just take a minute. And you've got Seth and Summer sort of watching from the background, and you see Taylor really in this info that Seth has fed her.
Yeah.
And she looks really upset, and she's like, oh, maybe another time, grabs Taylor, and they storm off, and they're just like, yes, the plan has worked.
And Summer's like, oh, I can't believe that you told her that he voted for John Kerry. Is that what she
said? Yeah, John Kerry. Again, I'm not really that up on my American politics of the time. Neither. So maybe some of our American listeners could enlighten us.
Is he a Democrat? And the implication is that Veronica's a Republican, I imagine. I imagine that's probably the joke.
Yeah.
I imagine. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's probably what it is. But it turns out that isn't what Seth told Taylor. He told her that he had genital warts. Lol.
Yeah, lol.
It worked. I told you, it worked.
It did work. But then imagine, again, Veronica not going to be like to Taylor, how did you know that, pal?
Or do you even know what Seth told me? Exactly.
Yeah, like,
it's so unbelievable. And I think as well, like, you just wouldn't. You wouldn't tell your parent that?
No.
But yeah, it's weird.
No. But then Sandy finds Dr. Roberts alone, and he's like, pal, you've dodged an oopsie bullet. And he's like, but there's someone over there who I think would like to chat to you. And Julie's just standing looking all gorgeous, having a little glass of champagne. Aww. And yeah, it's very cute. I feel like in the past few episodes, we've said cute so much, but it's very cute. Wholesome content, and it's so nice to see Julie having a nice time that's authentic and not just
doing what she needs,
being wined and dined and money thrown at her, or you know, so exactly. It's very nice. But then we've got, how weird is this when Johnny arrives?
Oh, when Johnny and Caitlin literally bump into each other.
Yes, I've just written like so weird.
Anyway, he's off to find Marissa. That's it. She makes an implication that she's interested to see him.
And,
Neil and Julie Cooper.
He asks her out. It's the moment we've all been waiting for.
I wonder what she's going to wear. Can't wait.
Yeah, I know. And then we've got Marissa thinking that Johnny is Ryan. And he's here to say sorry. The things he said weren't true. He sort of lashed out because he missed her. They both sort of exchange apologies and she's like, oh, don't be a stranger. And then this would just not have happened. Marissa's like, oh, can you take him?
Can you drive Caitlin up the road? Yeah. And he says, yeah, sure, I'll get her an ice cream. Again, just like,
yeah, it's hi, she's 12. Like, yeah, 14. Anyway, we cut to Summer sort of patching Seth up because it looks like she's accidentally hit him and is applying ice or whatever. Yeah, it's not. I feel they kind of throw this about to willy-nilly. It's like...
It's not okay to hit your partner.
It's definitely not okay. Even in a rage blackout, it's not okay.
It's not okay.
But then Taylor comes running through and she's like, oh, I hope we can still be sisters. And Summer agrees and they hug. And then Summer's like, pal, don't you encourage this or you're going to get another black eye.
It's not okay to threaten your partner.
No.
Anyway, Ryan is here and tells Marissa about the whole Justin situ.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I know what it's like to fall for a Cooper girl. And I'm like, ugh, right. And he's
when he says like, oh, well, you were 15 when I met you, only a year older.
You were also 15.
You were also 15, so it's not as weird. But anyway, Marissa's like, oh, yeah. Caitlin will probably be home by now, got Johnny to take her home. And then this last scene I just found very disturbing. So you've got Johnny and Caitlin driving, and he's like, still going with they'll get you ice cream. And she thanks him from getting her out of the party. And then she has this sort of kind of philosophical chat, like, oh, please, they say you can never truly go home. But has the place changed or has the person changed? Yeah. It's like, oh. So she comes to the conclusion that it's her that's changed.
Yeah.
And then she's like, pull over, and he's like, no, I'm going to take you for ice cream. And then she gets out and
I feel like a swim, and like takes her dress off and like goes running into the sea in her pants, and like Johnny just looks really awkward and angry. Like, but I guess it's good because there's no flirtation from him. There's no like interest from him. He's literally just like, what the fuck are you doing
What are you doing, man? Yeah. And that's it. It finishes quite abruptly, doesn't it? If we think about the last few episodes, they've all sort of been tied up with the gang hanging out or singing That's What Friends Are For or whatever song they were singing.
There's a lot of storyline opportunities I hear.
Yeah, I this is here. Definitely like, oof, yeah, a lot to be looking at.
I was thinking about Caitlin. I'm thinking about Caitlin and I'm thinking about what she's like. I do really distinctly remember being like a young teenager, like maybe not 14, maybe like 15.
And just it's hard to remember, isn't it? Yeah. Like what age you were when all these things were.
But that I remember thinking I was like, I knew what I was doing. I knew like who, like, you know, that way you think, you know, you think
you're quite sure of yourself.
Yeah. And you're like, I guess when you are going through that kind of like puberty phase and like you're starting to, you know, learn about things and try things and all that sort of stuff, and like you do think you're older than you are, and
yeah,
like I imagine, like I can see how this would happen, that she's in a situation where she thinks she's older than she is, that she's more mature, like she feels like she's the same age as her sister,
yeah, she feels she can handle
not.
It
yeah
by surrounding herself with people of
the same age.
That age, yeah.
So yeah. I get it. I get Caitlin acting like this.
Yeah, I get it now. I'm like, hang out with like our friendship groups varies in age, but like a lot of friends of my brother's are like pretty good friends with Stephen and I, and they're like 4 years younger, so we're trying to jump on the younger bandwagon. Yeah,
no, I'm exactly the same. I'm still 24.
Hang out with the youngsters. Yeah.
And then I wake up the next day dead and they're fine. And I'm like, oh yeah, I get hangovers of a 32-year-old. That's great.
Yeah. But yeah, that's us for another week. So a lot to look forward to. Will we see the man of your dreams, Heather?
Where is Voltaic? Another episode. Where is he? I just want Johnny to get in the bin. I'm so bored of this storyline. Or I just want something to happen.
Yeah.
So like if Marissa turns around and is like, I love him and leave Ryan, at least something's happening. Like this, like, oh
well, they won't they?
Like it's so boring. So boring.
I feel like in the time this has happened, like Ryan had got with Teresa, gone to Chino, had a pregnancy that didn't happen, come back, got back Marissa, you know, like,
yeah, like it's just so long.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd like something to happen. I'm now at the point where I don't really care what it is, but I'd like something to happen. Yeah. Caitlin's fun. That's a fun element in the storyline. I'm interested to see what hijinks she gets up to next.
Defo.
Can't wait for Julie and Dr. Roberts to get married. Looking forward to it forever. Wonder what our mansion. Wedding dress will be.
Oh my god.
Oh. Wedding dress number 3.
Yeah. And who gets into Brown?
Oh, yeah, we still need to find that out. I was just going to say, Seth and Summer have been quite quiet on the antics and hijinks.
Yeah.
So I imagine there'll be some trouble brewing for them somewhere.
Trouble ahead.
So it's time for Listener of the Week.
Listener of the week.
Our listener of the week this week is going out to a new podcast called Clothes Over Bros.
Nice.
By one of our very loyal and very engaged listeners, Amy Anna Park. You should give it a shout. It's all about my favourite, which is Sex and the City. And they go through episode by episode just chatting about, you know, the boys, the clothes, all the good stuff. And it's cute and it's great and you should give it a bash. Clothes Over Bros.
I was thinking about giving it a rewatch, so could be a shout. Yeah. Awesome.
And then the new series is later than the year. If you would like to be a listener of the week or be in the chance for being listener in the week, you can follow us at Never Seen the OC on Twitter and Instagram. Give us a little review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And that's us. On to next week.
Awesome. Yeah. See you next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.